So our next presentation is on the use of CAM during active surveillance of prostate cancer patients. And our presenter is Miriam L. Kaledar from the Office of Cancer Complementary and Alternative Medicine at the NIH. Welcome.
Good afternoon. So 1 in 6 men will receive a diagnosis of prostate cancer in their lifetime, and over 90% of these new diagnoses are of localized low-grade cancer. Some conventional treatments for prostate cancer include radical prostatectomy, which is surgical removal of the prostate gland, radiation therapy, chemotherapy, and androgen deprivation or hormonal therapy. And there's currently a lack of clinical consensus on the best treatment for men diagnosed with localized low-grade cancer. Very few of these men will progress to metastatic cancer, so there's some debate over whether they should delay treatment until symptoms or PSA levels indicate presence of advancing cancer, or if they should start early preemptive treatment. You may have read about this in the recent paper from the Preventative Task Force. So another option for these patients diagnosed with localized low-grade cancer is active surveillance, which is a type of expectant management under the direction of an oncologist. Active surveillance consists of regular monitoring of disease stage and progression through the use of PSA tests and/or digital rectal exams. And active surveillance also provides a unique opportunity to observe the effects of CAM without interfering with conventional treatments. And one major reason that men may opt for active surveillance is that the conventional treatments often carry a risk of side effects such as fatigue, sexual dysfunction, pain, nausea, anemia, hair loss, and urinary incontinence. So if CAMs can prolong the period under which men are eligible for active surveillance, it can improve quality of life. And some preliminary studies on genistein, which is an isoflavone found in soy, lycopene, which is a carotenoid found in tomatoes, diindolylmethane and sulforaphanes, which are both found in cruciferous vegetables such as cabbage, kale, and broccoli, omega-3 fatty acids, curcumin, and green tea have shown some promise. And they've shown promise in the form of quantified results, either reflected in PSA levels or in gene expression. So for this study, we reviewed publications of CAM use during active surveillance or watchful waiting, which is another term sometimes used interchangeably with active surveillance. We did a database search using PubMed and the terms prostate cancer, active surveillance, watchful waiting, CAM, and supplements, and we identified 36 studies. For this review, we focused on supplements because they were the most studied CAM and because they had quantifiable results. So 18 studies were not included due to cancer stage, for instance, if the subjects had already progressed to metastatic cancer, if they had already received primary therapies, and also for study type, we tried to focus on clinical studies or reviews that included primarily clinical studies. We used 8 studies to provide background information on CAM use among prostate cancer patients, active surveillance, treatment types, and PSA screening. And some of the background info on CAM use in prostate cancer patients indicated that roughly 42% of them use some type of CAM. And we found that 6 studies on supplements reported significant findings, and 4 studies reported non-significant or inconclusive findings. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go through every single study, but highlight some of the major trends we found. In the first study, for example, the delay study, the experimental group received soy in the form of soy grits baked into bread, and the control group received just plain wheat toast. And this occurred for 24 days, and they found a 12.7% reduction in total PSA compared to a 40% increase in the control group. In the next study, the De Vere White study, they received their soy in the form of genistein extract in capsule form. And this was for 6 months. And their active surveillance patients' PSA levels were 27% lower than otherwise predicted. So So between those two studies, you can see there's a difference in duration of the study, also what was delivered, extract versus whole soy, and how it was delivered. The next study I want to review is the SWAMI study, which was a double-blinded, randomized, placebo-controlled trial. And this took place, this occurred for only 2 weeks, which was the shortest study included in our review. And instead of focusing on PSA levels, they measured it using expression of the COX-2 genes and mRNA expression. The Zhang study on lycopene delivered 10 milligrams daily for an average of 10.4 months. This was the longest study in our review, and it was for just as long as each individual was eligible for active surveillance. And they found a statistically significant decrease in the slope of PSA level over time. I'm going to skip that for now. So for our non-significant results, the Kumar study was a double-blinded randomized control trial, and this took place for 12 weeks. And this found that although there was a decrease or stability found in 69% of the experimental group, there was also the same result in 55% of the control group. So this was not a significant result. And the Chan study of lycopene was a much longer study than our other lycopene studies. It was for 3 months. And they also looked at gene expression rather than PSA levels and found that there was no significant difference in the experimental group. So our review found that 6 of 8 studies of soy found a statistically significant association between soy consumption and prolongation of the active surveillance period. And the hypothesis for this was that soy is a phytoestrogen, which may have estrogenic or weak anti-estrogenic effects. Not all prostate cancer, however, is hormonally dependent. And so for prostate cancer that is not, it may not have the same effect. And dosage, delivery, and duration varied greatly between studies. There is also a difference between what the study proclaimed to be giving the experimental group. Soy contains not only genistein, but also protease inhibitors, phytate, phytosterols, saponins, and lignans, which may also have anti-cancer effects. And there's also a difference between whether they said they gave genistein or isoflavones, because genistein is not the only isoflavone found in soy. Diazoxide is also found in soy and may also have similar effects. And 1 of 3 studies on lycopene found a decrease or stabilization of PSA levels, but the non-significant results came from androgen-independent prostate cancer, which may not react the same as androgen-dependent prostate cancer. And preliminary in vitro and in vivo studies found that lycopene's antioxidant effects may have interfered with tumor development and progression. And one of the studies I did not go over, the Ornish study, also shows how many studies that we looked at and disregarded focus not on one CAM at a time, but many CAMs and use concordantly. So in conclusion, genistein has potential as a precursor for androgen deprivation therapy or as an alternative for patients who experience severe side effects. And lycopene may extend PSA doubling time, is highly tolerable and widely available in tomato products. And sulforaphane, diindolylmethane, omega-3 fatty acids, green tea, and other supplements were studied primarily for prevention purposes. So studies during active surveillance are needed. Which brings us to our recommendations, which were that randomized clinical trials on each CAM are needed. They should be of large representative sample size and have a duration of at least 1 year to prevent misinterpretation of PSA drops that may only be transient. And the study should focus on active surveillance patients and focus on PSA doubling time or extension of the active surveillance period. And there needs to be dose standardization and delivery efficacy studies to validate the results of the conflicting preliminary studies. Further study of each CAM's mechanism of action is needed to prevent the confusion I was talking about between, for instance, soy's different elements, like just the anti-cancer effects versus the hormonal effects versus antioxidative effects, because this can make a difference between whether genistein extract is used versus whole soy. And there also needs to be a continued study of the effects of elevated PSA levels on cancer progression and specific genes on tumor growth and cancer progression. So thank you for listening.